Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome. In just a few moments, we're going to bless you with a message preached in our sanctuary titled, Open Doors and Broken Chains. But first, I want to invite you to Fresh Oil 2017. With West Virginia District Superintendent Greg Hurley, former Superintendent Daniel Garlitz, Pastor Sal Bria, and all the way from Texas, powerful speaker by the name of Bishop Doug White from Silsbee, Texas. The pre-conference service is Wednesday at 7 p.m., then the keynote is Thursday at 7:30, morning anointing Friday at 10 a.m., and then evening anointing Friday at 7:30 p.m., and then a conclusion for the conference, Saturday evening anointing at 6 p.m. Details are available at fresh-oil.org. Free tickets are available there through the Eventbrite system. And now, our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean will bless us with a song from their project entitled Let the Worshippers Arise. The name of this song is You Are God Alone.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. Not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God. That's what you are.
I'd like to ask you to turn with me to Acts chapter 12.
beginning with verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. The keepers of the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." This is very interesting to me. I'd like to ask you to notice, for some reason, the angel acted like he was in a hurry. His chains fell off from his hands. Notice that the angel didn't use a key. The chains just fell off. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Amen. God bless you. As we're seated, let's clap our hands and give a great shout of praise. That means glory to God. Amen. I want to ask y'all if you'll help me again do that little Spanish thing where the person at the platform will say to his name, and then you shout Gloria. All right. And I hope I remember this right. If I get it wrong, y'all tell me. All right. Al su nombre. Gloria. Al su nombre. Gloria. All right, now there's another part that I'm still trying to get. E su pueblo. And you say en victoria, and that means the people in victory. Ready? E su pueblo. E su pueblo. All right, good job. Y'all are learning some Spanish. Praise God. I have to be real careful. It's easy for me to mess up. One night I tried to say in Spanish, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one. And what I actually said was, Father, Daughter, Holy Ghost, one. The Spanish-speaking people were rolling on the floor laughing. It was not good. I want to mention, as I start here tonight, that I appreciate so much our musicians and singers. They play such an important role. They are so beneficial in the kingdom of God. I think there is a reason why Satan has targeted our preachers and our musicians and singers, and he has ever more targeted them. Any person who's wise in strategies of war will tell you, go after the leadership. If you can take down the leadership, you accomplish a terrible blow to your enemy. And I think I've mentioned to you before, there's a place in the scripture where they ask the prophet, the authority asked the prophet to come in and prophesy. And he couldn't seem to get connected with the anointing and prophesy. And he said, bring in the musicians, bring in the minstrel. And the musician came in and began to minister in praise to the Lord. And suddenly you could feel the anointing and he prophesied. Amen. My load is lighter here tonight. My task before you is easy because precious people came early when no one else was here, and they prayed and they practiced, and then they got up tonight and they ministered to us with anointing. Amen. Oh, it does my heart so good to see our young people praying and practicing and ministering under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want to ask you to join with me in prayer. When what happens like this happens, it causes hell to hate these young people. It causes hell to want to take them out. And I want to pray over all of our servants, all of our ministers, every department leader, every department head, everyone elected to any post, every Sunday school teacher, but especially over our elders and over these precious ministers in music and singing. I want to plead the blood of Jesus over you and invoke the name of Jesus over you, that God will protect you from any attack or trick of the enemy. Amen. Would you join me in prayer for that right now? I plead the blood of Jesus, and I speak the name of Jesus as a hedge of protection and power and authority around all of our servants, all of our ministers, every department leader, everyone that serves in any way in leadership, over our elders and over every singer and musician. In the name of Jesus, let your touch and your power protect them, Lord, in every day to come. Hallelujah. I want to tell you that Herod's days were numbered, but he didn't know it. When I try, and it twists my brain into a pretzel when I try, but when I read a passage like this and I try to put myself in God's shoes, it's tough to do because God inhabits the future and the present and the past all at the same time. It's hard for us to understand. And it's one reason why we need to not be so quick to judge God, because we think he didn't do it like we thought it should have been done. He's God and you're not. He knows things you don't know. He understands ramifications and ripples and possibilities and problems that you don't comprehend. There's a scripture that describes it this way. He does all things well. There's another scripture that says he does all things after the counsel of his will. Amen. I'm reminded of Brother Billy Cole, my late pastor, the great Billy Cole. His father, whom I never got to know, Pastor J.C. Cole, upon the death of his child due to a plague, his precious daughter. The mother met the dad at the bottom of the stairs, and Brother J.C. Cole just stood straight and tall, and his little son, Billy Cole, at that time, yet off in the future to be a great man of God, but a precious lesson instilled in his heart on the death of his little sister. The dad, J.C. Cole, stood and squared his shoulders, his wife crying, and he said, God never makes a mistake. Amen. I'm not an expert in all of the interpolitical terms and titles from back in Jesus' day, but it's my understanding that there were quite a few people in throughout this period of time that had one variation or another of the name Herod. You'll see Herod the king, Herod Agrippa, Herod the tetrarch. It's my understanding that it's not safe to assume that that's always talking about the same man. For instance, just a few verses from here, this mentions Herod the king, but just a few verses later, after this guy is dead, it mentions another guy called Herod the tetrarch. It's my understanding that you can get confused if you think every time you see the word Herod, it's the same guy. Herod's days were numbered. In Acts chapter 12, and many of you realize that we have been for some weeks now in a survey of the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 12, the scripture says that now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Now, there was more than one disciple with the name of James. There was James and John, and then there was James, the brother of Jesus. The scripture indicates that Herod just reached out, and he just had James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. And he saw that that pleased the people, and so he went on to take Peter into custody. Now, I suppose it could be argued that Peter was the preeminent apostolic authority in Jerusalem. And I suppose probably second to Peter would be the pastor of the Jerusalem church, which scholars believe is James, the brother of Jesus. And there's a mention in the beginning of this chapter of James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. And then after he's dead and Peter is almost killed, there's a mention of Peter saying, go let James know. And he's not talking about the man who was killed, but presumably he's talking about the pastor of the Jerusalem church, James, the brother of Jesus. But the scripture tells us that Herod had Peter arrested, had him put in prison, had him guarded with four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. And the scripture says in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4 that he intended after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And as I understand it, if you studied in Greek, and I looked it up in the original Greek today, the word Easter is not in the original Greek, but rather the Greek word for Passover is there. So it would be better translated that Herod intended to wait until Passover, and then he was going to bring Peter forward to the people. And this, the kind of approach is that just as Jesus was brought forward and then he wound up being crucified, the concept was that he could bring Peter forward and maybe Peter would wind up being crucified. So he's already killed James and he's intent on killing Peter. Now his days are numbered and you wonder, why didn't God just kill him off now? Why did he wait till later? And so we can ponder on that. And the scripture indicates that God apparently, for some reason, was delaying dealing with this. And I can't presume to know God's mind. I can't presume to know why that he would wait. And then when he finally sent the angel had a brief window of time. You know, from my limited human perspective, I think, why couldn't God just send the angel earlier? I mean, you know, God is the master of time. Why wait and then have the angel given a brief window of time when the angel had to say, get up quickly, we're in a hurry. But the Lord does all things well. So during the night, and it's the very next day, it's the very next day when Herod the king is going to bring Peter out of prison and forth to be tried in front of the people. And the night before, the very night before, a light, a glow, begins to appear in the cell where Peter is sleeping between two soldiers. And he's bound with two chains. So he's got locked chains and locked doors and guards sleeping one on either side. And in the midst of that, a light comes and an angel comes and hits him on the side and says, wake up, boy. He didn't say that, but it's kind of my American Western version of it. He said, get up quickly. And the Bible says the chains just fell off. Praise God. And then the angel said, get your clothes on, get your shoes on, get your coat on. And they went out, and as they walked, when they came to prison doors, when they came to prison gates, the gates just opened on its own. Amazing. Chains just fall off. Doors just open on their own. The story is rather interesting. The scripture indicates that the angel walked with him for a certain distance through the city, and then the angel departed. And after that, Peter was left to do whatever he wanted to do, I guess. And Peter thought about it. He's wandering through the city. It's the wee hours. And he decides he's going to go to the home of John Mark's mother. And that's where a bunch of people were praying for him. I guess maybe somehow he knew that would be the designated meeting spot. So he goes, and apparently there's a house, and I guess maybe, I'm not sure, maybe a courtyard. It says that there was a door that was a gate. A door to kind of like maybe a door to a courtyard or something. And he knocks on the door and a little girl, Rhoda, comes and he says, hey, let me in. It's Peter. Let me in. And she gets so happy, she turns around and runs back in the house and doesn't open the door for him. It's almost kind of like a, you know, a comedy. He's standing here going, Okay, all right. So he keeps knocking. She's gone now. He's still knocking. She walks in there and she says, Peter's here. He's at the gate. And they laugh and they say, no, you don't know what you're talking about. And she says, no, Peter's really here. And they finally say, well, maybe what you heard was his angel, maybe his guardian angel. And she just insisted, no, Peter's here. And so they go and they open the door and there's Peter and they're all astonished. Boy, that's so church, isn't it? God, give us a miracle. Miracle. What? They got what they prayed for and it blew them away. And I can, bless his heart, I can see Peter thinking, boy, you all are a faith-filled lot, aren't you? Got the answer to your prayer and you can't even believe it. The Bible says he motioned to him with his hands to be quiet. And he started and he told him the whole thing. And as you read on, the story gets interesting. The Bible says that when the morning came, all the soldiers were very upset about where Peter was. Now, in case you would miss it, I want to point out to you why the soldiers were very upset. They were given charge of this man. He was put into their custody, and it was their job to make sure that nobody broke him out and that he didn't escape, and somehow he got out. Nobody knew how it happened. Nobody knew when it happened. They just knew they went to sleep, chained to the guy, locked and locked and guarded and guarded, and they woke up, and now he's gone. And the problem is, Herod is going to come calling. And Herod, as you know, was a rather merciless and wicked fellow. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 12 that Herod examined them. I can show it to you in Acts chapter 12 and verse 9. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers, and watch this, and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Now, I tend to wonder about these men who died. The Bible doesn't mention their names. The Bible doesn't really say if they were good people or bad people. It doesn't say if they had families or not. It doesn't say whether they love God or not. We don't know anything about these people. And I can't really say that it was God who pronounced a death sentence on them. The Bible is very clear that it was Herod who pronounced a death sentence on them. And for that matter, I'd just like to point out that the Bible doesn't say they were executed. It just says he commanded for them to be executed. And as I've studied on this, I've wondered, maybe the Lord worked out a scheme where if it was timed just perfectly, Herod would reach the end of his days before his order was executed, and maybe somebody else would have mercy and it not be executed. I don't know if these guys died or not, but it just illustrates to you how merciless Herod was. Herod says, you were in charge of him. He disappeared on your watch. Guess what? You die. Bye-bye. But as we'll find, it was Herod, actually, who was facing his judgment. And the scripture says that Herod, he left from there and he went to Caesarea. I've been there. I've been to the very amphitheater where the events that I'm about to describe happened. It's an amazing place. You should go sometime. He went to Caesarea, and there's a big amphitheater there. And there's a big palace there. And the scripture says that he was very frustrated with the people of Tyre and Sidon. He was very frustrated with them. And they had made friends with someone in the king's household. And they showed up in force and they entreated him for peace. And it was kind of looking good. There was a political dalliance, political liaison happening there. And the scripture says that upon a set day, he arrayed himself in royal apparel, and he went out and sat on his throne, and he made a great oration to the people. And here's where it gets interesting. The Bible says that the people began to shout, "It's the voice of a God and not of a man." And Herod had a brief moment when he could say, "Hey, hey, hey, I'm not God. Don't call me God." But he didn't say that. He received that worship, and God gave the okay to his angel, and his angel smote Herod right on the spot. And this is what the Bible says, verse 23, "And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." And I look at that and I say, good riddance. But the man had a soul. I look at that and say, you wicked so-and-so, good to have you gone. But the man had a soul. I wonder if God's reticence was just saying, I can't bear to see another one go to hell. this and that. And no, and that doesn't work. And then, but if I do it this way, and if I act now versus now. But in the end, the man is so wicked, he leaves God no choice. You ever wondered how many people are alive on this planet today because God went ahead and gave the okay for the angel to smite this man? How many more people would he have killed? Now think about this. Think about if God had not given the okay to the angel and God let this man keep living, how many more people would he have killed? And how many of those people got married and had kids? And how many of those kids got married and had kids? And grandkids and great-grandkids and great-great-grandkids, until there's probably millions of people alive on the earth now that would never have been born if God hadn't let the angel bump this guy off. People say, that's not a God of mercy. That's not a God. You don't know what you're talking about. Don't judge God for the actions he has to take. He's God and we're not. But in all of that, I just present that to you as information to rumble around in your brain and process and think about as you consider the scripture. But ultimately, I want to come back to one thing. There was a door at the house of John Mark's mother that a little girl could have opened. And God didn't send an angel. And God didn't open that door. But there was a prison house door that nobody could open. And some prison house chains that nobody could open. And God did send an angel. And he opened those doors. And he made those chains fall off. I bring good news to you tonight. I don't know what kind of struggle you've had. I don't know what kind of torment. I don't know what kind of problems in the past. I don't know what kind of psychological prisons and chains and bars you suffer with. And maybe, I don't know what kind of physical issues. I know this, that when it's a mountain and there's no way you can move it, there is somehow a way in the kingdom of God where a little old somebody can say to a mountain, be there. Thou moved and cast into the sea in Jesus' name, and God will move the mountain and drop it into the sea. I'm here to preach to you tonight. God is presenting to you an occasion of faith to open doors and break chains, and we need to arise boldly. As the angel said, get up quickly and act in faith and let God do a work. Amen. I want to ask the musicians, that was a song you sang earlier, the singers, and you sang it and it says, the atmosphere is changing. I want to ask you to come and sing that again. I don't have a whole long sermon tonight. I'm just telling you in the Holy Ghost, God is here to open doors that you can't have opened. God is here to knock chains off of you that you cannot have gotten those chains off of yourself. The power of the Lord can do what you cannot do. He may leave something for you to do. There may be part of it that's like that door that Rhoda could have opened and should have opened. And there may be something you can do and he wants you to do it. I understand that. But I'm talking about those burdens you cannot shake. I'm talking about addictions. I'm talking about sicknesses that the doctors can't cure. God is able to do what the doctors cannot do. I declare in the name of Jesus, open doors and broken chains. I declare by the blood of Jesus in this house right now, open doors and broken chains. I tell you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, be free in Jesus' name. Oh, let's rejoice. I want to tell you, God is here. He has already done amazing things in this house tonight. But I think he's just getting started. And sometimes the worst mistake we can make is after we think God moved, we walk away. And God's saying, no, I'm not done yet. If you just hang in here with me a little bit longer, I'll do more than what you thought I was going to do. I want to ask you right now to get somebody by the hand and come and find a place to pray. And let's pray one for another. Amen. If you've never laid your hand on anybody's forehead, you need to lay your hand on somebody's forehead tonight and say, in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus, I speak healing into this life. I speak healing into this mind. I speak healing into this heart. I speak healing into this body. Amen. Brother Jeremy, come, let us pray for you. We're going to pray for you for a miracle tonight.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.